Welcome to God First with Brian C. Thomas, a program committed to encouraging you to put God first while viewing life through the window of the Bible. Now, in honor of the one and only true God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, let's join Brian C. Thomas for today's message.
Greetings in the name of our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. My name is Brian Thomas, and as always, it is a delight and a privilege to join you each week on the God First program. Well, as we look around in our society today, there is a lot of tension, there is a lot of unrest, and as a result of that, there are a lot of people that are fearful and there are a lot of people that are worried because we are seeing unprecedented things taking place in our nation. And people are concerned about what is yet to come. But, you know, this is a day that the Lord has made. And so I have to ask you the question, are you rejoicing in it? Because no matter what is going on, the Bible tells us that this is a day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. So are you glad in the Lord today? Because no matter what is taking place in the world, no matter what is taking place in America, no matter what is taking place with our government, Jesus Christ is still on the throne. And Jesus Christ is going to remain on the throne. And that is why we should rejoice and be glad in this great and wonderful day that our Lord has made. Well, a couple of weeks ago, we began a series on the Great Reset with guest Dr. Bruce Logan. If you missed the first two episodes, you can listen to them at godfirst.org. That's G-O-D, the number one, S-T.org. This week, we conclude our discussion. So please join us as we pick up where we left off in part three and the conclusion of the Great Reset. I read an article just a few days ago, and in the article, it spoke of with this vaccine rolling out. And when we talked about the vaccine in part one last week, but it spoke of, it said, well, you know, banks and different institutions are going to make it a requirement that no one will be able to buy, sell, or trade unless they have the vaccine. Now, that's almost identical language in Revelation chapter 13 when it speaks of the mark of the beast. No one will be able to buy or sell unless he has the mark of the beast. And so we see that conditioning that is taking place. And another day, a few months ago, I was walking into the grocery store. And I want to say before I speak on this that I am not, folks, saying that you're wrong for wearing a mask. I'm not saying that at all. So let me make sure that that's very well understood. But I was walking into the grocery store. I did have a mask on. The individual behind me did not. And so a lady was stationed at the door. She stopped him. She said, sir, where's your mask? Or do you have a mask? And I couldn't really make out what he said. But the words that she responded to him was that you cannot go in to buy anything unless you have a mask. And it really sent chills up my spine because I thought to myself, the conditioning is being underway. It's taking place right before our eyes to accept the mark of the beast. But again, Dr. Logan, we're making it very clear. We're not saying that COVID-19 and the vaccine is the mark of the beast, but we're saying the foundation is being laid, the conditioning is being laid for people to easily accept it when that time comes. So in light of that, Dr. Logan, what message do you have for the church today? Because there are a lot of churches that will not talk about this. If you try to talk about it, they will shut you down. They will look at you as if you have two heads. So what message do you have for the church?
Well, basically, you just said it, because the fact of the matter is that the fact that the churches won't examine this and look at this from a biblical perspective is a big part of the problem. And so my message to the church would be that we, and particularly those in leadership, need to get back to a more biblical worldview. We need to get back to what I like to call more theological, hermeneutical exegesis of the biblical text. We need to place more emphasis on the subject of Bible prophecy, because we have to realize that almost 2/3 of the Bible is prophecy. Either prophecy that's been fulfilled already or prophecy that yet remaining to be filled. As a matter of fact, I read where there's a 1/3 of the Bible still remaining to be fulfilled at some future point. And so if God placed such an emphasis on the topic of Bible prophecy, then it would seem to me that the church, especially in this day and time, should also place an equal emphasis on the subject of Bible prophecy. And I did a lot of teaching on this on my website that people could go back and follow. But one of the points that I make out is that Jesus' last three major sermons before he ascended back up into heaven was on the subject of Bible prophecy. For an example, the last major sermon, what we refer to as the Olivet Discourse, before his crucifixion, was on the subject of Bible prophecy, where he spent two whole chapters in Matthew 24 and 25 on the topic. And then the first sermon that he talked about when he met his disciples on the road, on the Emmaus Road, when the Bible tells us, and the a really good account of it is recorded in Luke 24, basically verses 44 through 48, where he makes the statement that he taught them everything in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning himself. All right, so he gave him a complete run. As a matter of fact, I did a lesson on that where I called maybe the greatest Bible study ever, you know, mm-hmm. where he went through the entire Old Testament pointing out passages concerning himself, where Jesus himself was teaching the disciples everything in the Old Testament pertaining to himself. I mean, that had to have been an awesome experience. But then, right as he was ascending up into heaven, two angels came forth and said to the men that were standing there, to his disciples, say, "You men of Galilee, why are you standing here staring? That same Jesus that you see go up into heaven shall one day come back in like manner." So the last three things that we can remember that concerning Jesus was all about Bible prophecy. So wouldn't it seem logical that God, because God placed such an emphasis on the topic, that we as believers today should also, and particularly leaders, should also place an emphasis on Bible prophecy? And when you consider in light of all the events that are happening in the world, it's obvious that we have to place more of an emphasis on exegetical biblical teaching, and particularly on the topic of Bible prophecy. Right now, we have a lot of our sermoning. You know, I like to call this kind of a, it's more, let me just say it to put it nicely, it's more eisegesis than it is exegesis. Mm-hmm. In other words, what we see a lot is that we have our own our own presuppositions on a particular topic, our own ideas, our own view of a particular topic, and then we'll find a biblical passage to line up with our particular presupposition on the topic, and then we'll try to make that passage to line up with our pre-existing presupposition. Where an actual biblical exegesis is when we start our mind as a blank slate and we transform our minds fundamentally to line up with the hermeneutically correct and theologically sound interpretation and original intent of the Word of God.
Well,
so we need to really get back to that. We have to get back to that. If we don't get back to that, because one of the things that I've observed is that over the past several years, it really has accelerated exponentially over the past 20 years. And that is the fact that it appears that the globalists, or not just the globalists, but the secularist movement in the world and in America has become the dominant worldview. For an example, I mean, I'm watching, you know, television, you know, and I'm a movie buff and I'm a sports fan. Those are my two paths. I like movies and I like watching sports. So I'm watching, and a commercial have two African American men kissing, like right on prime time. Again, that's part of the conditioning that's taking place. And it's rarely that we see that. There used to be a time when if you would have told me, you know, 30 years ago that that was going to be on primetime television, I would have told you was crazy. There ain't no way. That's SEC violation. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Or FEC violations. And that could never happen. But now we've seen it happen just right in our faces. And so, again, we're being conditioned. And the body of Christ needs to be discerning. We need to be able to see the signs of the times. That one of the examples that I like using with Jesus and one of his many confrontations with the scribes and the Pharisees back in his time is the instant where he talks about when they asked him to show them a sign. And he rebuked him by saying, "You're asking me for a sign. You're able to determine, you know, when it's time to plow, the seasons, you know, when it's time to plant, when it's time to harvest, but you're not able to discern the signs of the times." And what's significant about that is that if you pay attention, that Jesus was actually, he was not referring to just the average member in the pew. He was in the pew, rather. He was referring or talking directly to the religious leaders of the day that came to him to try to challenge him. Mm-hmm. So that's a very important message that we have to understand, because we're living in a time where, see, it used to be years ago that all of this agenda has always been a part. It's always been, it's been a part of the agenda. The globalists, it's not a new movement. But in previous times, they kept it hid. They didn't want it. They wasn't so out with it. They used deceptive language. They would mean one thing, would say something else. And now they're just coming out point blank.
Right.
And I have one other point that I wanted to make that I saw in my notes that I forgot, that I wanted to make sure I get this, because we were talking about the climate movement. And I wanted to make your listeners aware of something very important that need to be cognizant of, because it's all part of this conditioning that's been taking place. This climate movement also is nothing new. If you go, you can follow this on YouTube, and you can go and YouTube. It's called, it used to be a show back in the 70s. It was hosted by Leonard Nimoy. I believe it was on ABC. And it was called In Search Of. I don't know if you remember that. But yeah, there was an episode that first aired in 1978. And it was called In Search Of the Coming Ice Age. Okay. I mean, it was all, they did In Search Of Bigfoot, In Search Of, you know, whatever. I mean, it was always coming up with something In Search Of. And then they would go through all these investigative, you know, interview people to claim they saw Bigfoot and so on and so forth. Well, in this particular episode, it was called In Search Of the Coming Ice Age. Now, this was recorded in 1978 when it first aired. And basically, they were saying that in 10 to 12 years, we're going to have the Earth is not going to be able to survive. We're going to have a coming ice age. And because of greenhouse gases, and the world is going to freeze. And if we don't get this, transform our economies, get off of fossil fuels, the same language that they still use now, if we don't do that, this was in 1978. Well, funny thing happened. 10, 12 years went by, and instead of the ice age happening, the world started getting warmer. So they changed the narrative from the ice age, they changed the narrative to global warming. Yeah. You remember Al Gore, mm-hmm. you know, he became, you know, famous for his global warming movement. Michael Moore did a documentary on it, and this was in the early 90s. And it was global warming. And if we don't, you know, the sea levels are going to rise. And in 10 years, if we don't transform our economy and get off of fossil fuel, the polar ice caps are all going to melt away. And you remember all of that happened. But then fast forward again, and they were telling us, you know, 12 years, you know, we had 10 to 12 years. Well, fast forward 10 to 12 years, none of those projections came to pass. And so what they did then in the early 2000s, this one you start hearing the term climate change. Mm-hmm. But then they changed the term, but everything stayed the same. We got to get off of fossil fuel. We got to transform the world economies. We have to and do all these green type New Deal type implementations. And so the language changed. But the solution to every time stayed the same, and every time it involved a global, one world type of economic formation.
We are discussing The Great Reset Part 3 with guest Dr. Bruce Logan. We will pause for a short break, but please do not go away, as we will resume on the other side of this brief announcement. You are tuned in to the God First program.
You are listening to Brian C. Thomas on God First, For more of Brian's teachings, please visit godfirst.org to browse our extensive library of material. There you will find devotionals, blogs, articles, and audio messages available as MP3 downloads on various topics such as salvation, Bible prophecy, marriage, and the significance of blessing Israel, just to name a few. You can also sign up for our monthly newsletter and visit our web store. So please visit us at godfirst.org. Now, let's return to the conclusion of today's message.
Welcome back to the God First program. If you are just now joining us and would like to hear the entire message, please visit us at godfirst.org. That's GOD1ST.org. You can also contact us by mail at God First Bible Fellowship, P.O. Box 266, Knightdale, North Carolina, 27545. Now, let's rejoin Dr. Bruce Logan in part three of The Great Reset.
So, So what we're talking about, what we've been talking about the last 2 weeks, none of this has been new. The only thing that's been different has been that they've been inserted COVID-19 as an initiator. But even the pandemic with COVID-19 is really made up. I heard somebody on the news just yesterday say that we've never seen anything like this, and I'm like, what world has he been living on? Because we've had just in the past 20 years, we've had like 10 pandemics. Uh-huh. As a matter of fact, if you research, the Ebola pandemic had a 50% mortality rate. Mm-hmm. Think about that.
Yeah.
And because it had a 50% mortality rate, in spite of the fact that it had a 50% mortality rate, there was never even a suggestion that we would like lock everybody down.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Shut down business. You know, so you can keep abortion clinics open, but you can't have church.
Right. Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
You know, these types of things was never even thought of. So when you mentioned earlier that, you know, people refer to this as a conspiracy. Well, when you examine all the evidence and all the things that we've talked about, and this is, again, your if your listeners want to learn more, I mean, there's information all over the place, you know, to confirm everything that you and I have been saying. If you really want to know, if you really want to be curious and really want to be a critical thinker, you will examine, you know, some of this data and see exactly what's going on. Because one of the things I found that Satan hates the most is he hates informed people.
Right. Exactly.
Because one of the things that that I've noticed in the New Testament that was warned against more than any other thing. I mean, we were warned against, you know, persecution. We warned against, you know, other things. But the thing that was mentioned the most and warned against the most was deception.
Mm-hmm.
Be not deceived. You know, the term deception is used over and over again. For example, in the Olivet Discourse, many shall come and quote deceive many. And it's just on and on and on. You see the term that we were warned against being deceived. And this COVID-19 crisis, trying to merge it with the climate change in order to bring about their one world government, is maybe the greatest deception that has been perpetrated on the world maybe since the Garden of Eden.
Wow! Wow!
You know, and that's not hyperbole, by the way.
Wow!
So there, that's where we stand, and it's just, but the believers, we are the ones that need to be aware. We are the ones that the Bible says that, for we are not ignorant of Satan's devices. Ungodly and carnal minded man can't understand the things of God, but we have spiritual discernment. Okay. So we need to be able to understand it, take the emotions out of the news media and understand really what's happening from a biblical perspective and from a discerning perspective. And then we'll really be able to combat really what's going on and really stand up and because it's going to take the church. If the church does not stand up, then, you know, the world itself is, you know, is going to be in a big trouble.
Right. You took the words right out of my mouth. That's exactly what I was thinking. The church must stand up in these last days. So, church, please listen to these words of wisdom. We must be discerning. As you mentioned, Dr. Logan, Bible prophecy. I saw a recent survey that said 98% of churches never touch Bible prophecy. And That is why so many today in the church don't understand what is going on. They are not discerning the signs of the times. But we are all out of time for this week. But can you share with the listeners how they can get in touch with you so they can follow your ministry and learn more about all the great information that you have?
Yes, they can follow me on Bruce Logan, drbrucelogan.com, my website. They can follow me on Facebook at Dr. Bruce Logan Ministry. I'm also on Twitter. I'm on Parler and MeWe.
All right.
So they can follow me on all those networks. I'll have a book coming out next week. Actually, it was going to be one book, and I didn't mention this the last time. But my daughter said, "Dad, you know, why don't you make that a series?" And I got to thinking about it, you know, because the title was "The Mind of Family in the Church: The Three Battle Zones of the Enemy." And not to go into detail, but my daughter said, "Well, Dad, we should make that into a series instead of just one. Make that like three books." And I said, "You know what? You know, out of the mouths of babes."
That's right.
I'm actually going to do that. So it's going to be a series of books that's going to come out hopefully next spring. And then I'm going to go into part one is going to be the subject mind wars, which is really what we're talking about these past 2 weeks, because what it is that our minds are being manipulated and controlled particularly by the media. I told somebody, and also some people might get offended by this, but I have to say it, that if you get information from any of the mainstream media networks, and that's now including Fox, by the way, mm-hmm. then it's like getting your theology from Joel Osteen. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that on the air.
Yeah, you're good. You're good. You know,
yeah, so in other words, you're going to be, if you get your information from the mainstream media, you're going to be woefully uninformed.
Absolutely.
For an example, real quick, because I know we're out of time, but over the past couple of weeks, there's been numerous hearings and Senate hearings about the election that the media is refusing to even report at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people getting like sending everybody home and then bringing out boxes of ballots from underneath the table. Truck drivers driving from New York to Pennsylvania, picking up a truckload of ballots from New York and driving them to Pennsylvania. The media, if that would have been the other way around, the media will be going apoplectic.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
over stuff like that.
Right.
You know, so we need to be discerning. We need to wake up and see and really see what's happening. And because without the church, you know, the country really don't have much of a chance.
Absolutely. So, folks, the final words: do not be deceived. Be discerning of the times of what is taking place. Dr. Logan, I want to thank you for joining us these 2 weeks. You have been a blessing. And to our listeners, I want to encourage you, follow Dr. Logan. He has so much great material out there. It will certainly be a blessing to you. So, Dr. Logan, thank you again, sir. Many blessings upon you and your ministry.
Thank you. Thank you. God bless.
I have some final words that I want to leave with you in the closing minutes. Prior to COVID-19, I would attend my local gym and I would run 3 miles every other day. But like so many entities, when the pandemic hit, the gym was closed. And so I went the remainder of the year without running any whatsoever. And my conditioning suffered. I became sedentary. I gained 20 pounds. And so I decided a week ago, because the gyms have been allowed to reopen, that I needed to get back to running for health reasons. And so being that I had been out for so long, I knew that it was going to take some time to get my conditioning level back to where it was. So I started out at 5 miles per hour on the treadmill, and I gradually worked my way up to 6 miles per hour by the end of the run. I did complete it, but I'm gonna tell you, it was one of the hardest runs of my life. I mean, I really, really struggled to get through that run. And I told my wife about it afterwards, and she said, "Well, maybe you need to start out gradual and work your way up since you've been out for so long." To which I responded, that was working my way up gradually, because prior to the pandemic, I would start my runs at 7.5 miles per hour and complete them at 8.5. But you see, my physical conditioning had suffered because I had been out for so long. And my concern today is that many Christians are suffering spiritually. Their spiritual condition is suffering because you've been out of church for so long. And I want to challenge church leaders today that we need to open churches again. because there are many who have not stepped foot into a worship service in almost a year now. And we must remember the words of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, in which he said, we are to run in such a way to obtain a crown. But we are not obtaining a perishable crown, but an imperishable one. And we are to run with certainty. And we are to discipline ourselves and bring ourselves, our bodies, into subjection. And we are to do the same thing spiritually. My concern is that as we approach in these last and evil days, many are not going to be able to discern what is taking place. As we've been talking about, the deception of the Great Reset. Many, when they find out what is really going on, you're not going to be able to complete the race because you've lost your spiritual conditioning. You've gotten used to staying at home on Sunday mornings and watching the service online. You're not desiring corporate worship anymore. And we must have a desire. See, that is a problem. Many have lost the desire to go to church. And in the book of Hebrews chapter 12, we find that we are to lay aside every weight and we are to run with endurance the race that is set before us. There is a race that has been set before us. And there are many who are going to want to quit and give up and not complete the race because you're not going to have the endurance, because spiritually you are not where you used to be. So I want to challenge us to get back to church. Yes, I understand that we have a physical health concern. But at some point, as someone told me not too long ago, faith in the God that you say you believe in should step in and should say, in light of COVID-19, I'm going to go and worship and serve our Lord. And you know, I hear stories about there are people in places like India who are losing their lives, they're being persecuted, and they're being killed for their faith in Jesus Christ. But yet they still assemble anyway, even in light of the fact that they are going to be killed by authorities. And I say to myself, they must look at us and think, wow, how they give up so easily and throw in the towel over a pandemic in which you have a 99% chance of surviving, and we fold the tents and won't go to church because of it. Where is our faith? And I even think sometimes Satan and his demons probably look at us and say, man, that was a lot easier than I thought it was going to be. They probably say, this must be some trick. You know, we didn't think they would give up that easily. But I want to encourage you, folks, let's get back into church. Let's worship our Lord. Let's serve him, because we need to be spiritually conditioned to survive these last and evil days. I want to thank you for tuning in. That is going to do it for this week, but please come back and join us next week. Until then, remember to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Bless God's great nation of Israel, and to the only wise God be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen.
You've been listening to the Bible teacher Brian C. Thomas, founder and president of God First. Brian and God First reserve all copyright protection under applicable law. Our copyright policy is available at our website, godfirst.org. Until next time, remember to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, bless God's great nation of Israel, and seek first the kingdom of God.